Nice bro.
Welcome everybody to episode 69 of the Brothers Geek podcast. We made it.
Woo! This is literally the only reason why we made a podcast, so we could get to this episode.
So we could get, we had to be like, we gotta get at least 69 episodes, no matter how shitty the podcast is, we need to get there for one specific moment. Well, if it's your first time joining us for the nicest podcast, my name is Patrick Laporte. Please don't mess it up like the Hobbit movies. And God bless ye, Henry! I've been playing a lot of Kingdom Come Deliverance.
Oh, God. You dick. I don't want to play.
Oh, it's so good.
Well, I'm Chris Laporte. The Forsworn Apocalypse and Barbarian Rage Inducer.
Oh.
Yeah.
You make your Barbarian Rage a lot? Yeah.
Well, I have developed a character that my players, like, fucking hate. Like, just...
Oh, like an NPC?
Yes.
Nice.
Designed to hate, but...
Right.
He's just like Han Solo without the charm. He's just... He's all the bad parts of Han Solo, and that's it. He's just a dick.
No redeeming qualities.
No redeeming qualities. So...
Is he like the the antagonist of the story, or is he just like a random NPC that they run into a bit?
At first he was just going to be like plot developing, just like get to this next point because this character did this thing.
Like a Thomas Exposition.
Yeah.
Like, just name him Thomas Exposition.
Yeah. And he was just supposed to be a name in a note that they found to get him to the next place, and then it turned into like this little roleplay conversation with him, and he became... like something else that they just hated so much that I was like, I have to bring it back.
Oh, yeah, gotcha.
So now he's going to play a little bit of a role in the main storyline more than I thought, but he's definitely not the antagonist, so.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
It's something I'm just noticing. I'm looking at this bottle opener, which we'll get to our beers that we're drinking, because we're actually both drinking beers this week.
Finally.
And guess what the price tag says on it?
Oh, shit.
$69.99. Nice.
$69.99. That's the most expensive bottle opener ever.
I mean $6.99. I just wanted to say 69 again.
Now just find everything 69 near you.
Nice. Nice. Almost as nice as the bad guy's password in Ready Player One. I don't remember his name.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's ended in 69. Well, speaking of suave smugglers, Patrick.
Oh, yes.
You watched the new Solo trailer?
I did, and I'm glad they finally included, like, a rock song. been waiting for that.
Yeah, that was good. Coming for sure.
But, yeah, I enjoyed how it featured more... Lando in this trailer.
This really
Lando goodness.
This was really like going to be Lando's movie, I think.
Oh yeah,
he's perfect.
He's so good. He's so pimping.
It should just be called Hello. That's what the whole movie should be.
It should. Yeah. Well, they should just somehow make it so the title card is elongated so that you have to pronounce it Solo. Like that.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I'm on board. Now, we'll just make that a thing where that's how we'll pronounce
Solo.
Solo. But yeah, I enjoyed the trailer. It looks fun.
Yeah.
I'm not expecting, like, a Rogue One.
No.
Super intricate, good storyline with, cool original characters. I mean obviously there are original characters in this, like Emilia Clarke's character and Woody Harrelson's character, but I think it's mostly gonna be a more like nostalgia trip than Rogue One was. But I think it's gonna be like fun. And I think people are going to look forward to seeing returning characters like Han Solo.
Oh, what?
And, you know he's going to be in this movie? The fuck? And Lando and Chewbacca. And I guess Chewbacca's boo thing? I don't know.
Yeah, right? So, basically...
A new robot. You got to have a new robot.
Yeah, every time. And new stormtroopers. Basically, it looks like Chewbacca is probably entering some sort of life debt with Han Solo, maybe? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I'm guessing he's, like, hugging his lover goodbye, or maybe his mom or something.
Which kind of takes a lot of the charm away from their relationship. Oh, I'm only here because I fucking have to be, because my culture says I have to.
What? I think that's, like, how it's... I mean, it's when you start learning more about... If you are into Star Wars and the expanded universe, and you play games like Knights of the Old Republic, and you start learning more about blood debts, I think that's how it kind of, like, starts out. It's like, oh, I'm here because I have to. But in that story specifically, Knights of the Old Republic, Mission and...
Big Z?
Zanzibar, yeah. He has a blood debt to her, but it's... They're like friends. They're like buddies, you know? They're not like... You never really get that Big Z's like, oh, I'm here because I have to be here.
Yeah.
It's but, like, yeah, he takes his job seriously that, like, he'll protect her with his life, but they're, like, friends.
But it doesn't seem like he was ripped away from his family at any point. Like...
True. True. Well, yeah, it might even be a thing that, like, maybe Han's like, hey, you don't have to go with me, like, if you don't want to, like, that kind of... I don't get the sense that Han Solo would be the type of person that's like, no, you owe me, bitch. You have to come with me.
Say your goodbyes, motherfucker.
Yeah, I think Chewie's more like, no, I gotta do this sort of thing.
Okay.
Maybe. And then obviously they become good friends through their adventure. We see that Chewbacca's real torn up about it when Han Solo dies. So
he's kind of bummed. Yeah.
Yeah. I like that part of the trailer when Chewie's, like, hanging off of the train or something, like, pulling an Indiana Jones sort of dodge the rock on the side of the truck. And it's like, oh, Chewie, no, like, watch out for the rock or whatever. And it's like, yeah, spoiler alert, like, he doesn't die.
That actually bothered me because it's like, why are you setting up these tension scenes for Chewie? Because we all know he's fine. Like,
he outlives all of these characters. It's like... You know?
Yeah. That's true. That's very true. Except, like, Lando. We don't know if he's outlived Lando. Yeah. Lando might show
Lando's,
up, though.
Lando's just pimping. I'm surprised. The place we would have seen him would have been on that casino planet, though.
That's true.
In Last Jedi.
He really should have been, like...
Roll him some steaks.
He should have been the master slicer or whatever.
Oh, man. I was thinking, like, oh... I wonder if she's talking about Lando.
But I would think he would have ties with the Resistance, though, already. So, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Probably. Maybe he's, like, helping fund them, or who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows?
Maybe he's just running his own operation somewhere, doing what he loves, and that's being a honorable businessman.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Honorable businessman.
I mean pimp. I mean honorable businessman.
Speaking of pimping, I guess. What are we drinking?
What does that have to do?
I don't know.
What do you got over there?
I got, it's called Einstock.
Oh, yeah, the Icelandic beer.
Yeah, it's from Iceland. And,
Which one is it?
Friend, it's the white ale.
Oh. Nice.
Yeah, it's brewed with coriander and orange peel. It's refreshing. It's good. I got it as a gift for our D&D session that I had at my place a couple weeks ago.
Nice. Because
one of my players was like, yeah, what's more, like, nerdy fantasy Viking than, like, or badass than, like, a Viking on your beer, you know, while we're playing D&D? And I'm like, you got a point.
I can't argue with that.
Yeah. And he spent some time in Sweden, so, you know, he's knows all about it.
That's cool. Even though sweet, well, yeah. It's Icelandic, though.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, like, he went to Iceland many a time.
Oh, okay. Well, I am drinking something real special today, Patrick. I had one the other day, and it's fucking good.
Just in time for Easter.
Just in time for Easter. Wait, Easter's already gone by.
Just in time for 420.
Well, next just week. In time for the nicest episode. The nicest episode. You'd
features, be proud.
Features even more Jesus.
God be praised.
By Evil Twin Brewing. It is a stout with a lot of coffee and chocolate
even more
flavors, and it's got some like fruit flavors in there too, a little bit.
Flavors include chocolate, coffee, and the Holy Spirit.
Exactly. It's a Holy Trinity.
It's a full body experience.
Exactly.
It's does delicious. It have a lot of body to it?
And it's 12%. And it's one of those tall cans, and I might be feeling it by the end of this episode, because I haven't eaten
and it's gonna
since lunch.
Oh, no. It's gonna take you to Nirvana. Queen of Valhalla, sit on my face!
Oh, my God. Nice.
Nice. Volcor. Oh, man. But anyway, some big news, or not big news, it's recurring news that has been developing over a time now, but...
We've mentioned it, and it's time to dive into it, I guess.
Yeah, some more details, or some more solid things have been released, with the inclusion of a couple of other side things along with it that I kind of want to talk about as well. I don't know if you've seen.
I have.
You might have. Probably. Maybe. But Amazon's, you know, has bought, we talked about this when it first happens, when they bought the rights to Lord of the Rings, specifically from the publishing company of the books, which got people debating, like, or, you know, really thinking about, oh, what is this TV show going to be about?
Right.
Because it could be about anything now, because it's, they got the rights for the books.
Now, does that include all the books?
Yeah, it's the publishing company.
Okay,
they got the rights for him.
So you're talking Silmarillion, all of it.
They according to THR, the Hollywood Reporter, Amazon's deal with the Tolkien estate, book publisher HarperCollins, and New Line Cinema.
Damn.
So they've gotten everything from the Tolkien estate, the book publisher, and from New Line Cinema, and that grants them a 5-season commitment.
And $1 billion.
$1 billion. As long as they're in production within 2 years. So they're going to start working on these.
Right now.
Like now. Yeah. And that deal also includes a potential Lord of the Rings spinoff series. Which is... why? I don't know. But cool.
What would constitute a spinoff?
I'm guessing... so... this article here, what could the spinoff be about? So they're saying, like, obviously it's way too early to be speculating, but we're going to do it anyway, sort of thing. And so they're thinking the series is going to be about one thing, which it's come out saying that the series is most likely going to be like a prequel sort of thing, not before even The Hobbit.
Okay. I was worried because The Hobbit kind of, like... There's a lot going on in this deal because that we have to break down like individually, but go on. I'll get there eventually.
So that's what the series is going to be about. So they're thinking the spinoff could be more like Silmarillion things, maybe.
I mean,
there's a lot going on in
there's,
that.
Yeah,
it's man, too much.
There's
too
so much, much they could pull. I mean, and that's what we're going to talk about, Patrick.
That's what we're going to talk about. So. We're going to talk a little bit about what we sort of want, what our hopes and dreams for this TV series is. Maybe, like, we want to see some, like, a certain storyline, certain characters, returning characters, potentially, things like that. And then speculating what it's going to be about. And then we're also going to talk about another book that's coming out in 2018. Called The Fall of Gondolin.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be coming out.
That's coming out very soon.
Yeah, yeah. So, that Christopher Tolkien has, you know, gotten
finished.
From his dad. Yeah, that he's finished. and what that book is probably going to deal with. So,
well, I assume the fall of Gondolin.
Yes, obviously, but what the fall of Gondolin is, Chris? What does that?
That
mean?
Needs to be a lore episode, I think.
That should be a lore episode, but we'll talk briefly about like what Gondolin is. What is Gondolin? Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, so what do you wanna start with? We want to talk about the new book first. We want to talk about the TV show.
Well, let's talk about where they must have started first.
Okay,
and that's they would have had to pitch to the Tolkien estate. And to get a $1 billion deal and 5-season commitment, what the fuck did they pitch? Because it must have been awesome.
Yeah.
They must have had quite the plan.
Yeah, especially coming from Amazon, because Amazon series aren't very good.
Yeah.
Like, Amazon original series like aren't the best. Like, you would think like Netflix would pull something like this. But the thing about Netflix is they literally do everything.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking Amazon came up to the Tolkien estate and was like, look, the reason why we haven't put out anything really good is because we've been working the most really on like this thing that we wanted to do for years. But we wanted to get it right. But we knew we had to do like some creative things. So that's why we came out with like these like other things.
Yeah.
But like this is really what we're pushing hard, and this is what it is, and then whatever that is must have given the Tolkien estate a big boner.
I think
they're like, probably like, imagine Game of Thrones, but like with this and this, and like, you know, there's now everything's like, imagine Game of Thrones, but has this.
Yeah. Well, yeah, if they're doing it before The Hobbit, it kind of, you could do like the White Council, I guess. But then that would be involved in The Hobbit a little bit, and you've already done that, so I don't think that's a direction they would go.
They fucked up
that part, by the way, in The Hobbit, because that could have been super cool, but instead we got, like, the ring Galadriel, like, who's really stupid looking, and that pissed me off so much.
The whole series.
Yeah. Really. The first
Besides
one,
Martin Freeman.
I was like, maybe, but then it went downhill.
Yeah. Besides Martin Freeman and then Benedict as the voice of Smaug.
Seriously, though. I love, like, he did the motion capture, too, and he was, like, crawling around on the ground and shit.
Yeah. And, what's his face? Luke Evans as Bard.
Oh, yeah.
He had the look.
Could have been better. Oh, well, anyway. I think...
We digress.
Exactly. So the most major thing that they could do, I think, would be the first rise of Sauron, like the creation of the rings.
Okay, yeah, that's what I was gonna say.
That's probably like the most likely, I would think. Because
there's a lot of there's battles, there's political intrigue with Sauron, you know,
tricking the elves even.
And
we talked about this. Go back to our lore episode. I don't know how many episodes ago, because we talked about
not too long ago
the creation of the rings, and you could tell how much of a Tolkien nerd I am because that pretty much was all from memory. But that would be like a major point in Middle Earth's history.
Uh huh. And then you can include things like, the fall. Of, I forget what the actual city is called, but like how it turns into Minas Morgul.
Oh yeah,
and the rise of the Ring Race, and then their conquest in the north as well.
That comes after, actually. So unless you could switch around like the timeline a little.
Well, it's 5 seasons, Chris.
I know. That's true, and that could be your spinoff. I don't know, but I think like the ring, like the Witch King. Wrecks the north part of the Kingdom of Men after the Last Alliance.
Yeah. Okay.
And finally gets banished. And there's a lot with Glorfindel saying, like, oh, he's not going to be killed by any man. And, like, makes the prediction that he'll
he'll
eventually be killed by a woman and a hobbit.
Yes. Yeah. So, that's what I was going to say. Is probably the most likely thing that you have... A, the most to work with without having to, like, go into, like, unfinished things.
Yeah.
But also still have a good amount of creative freedom within it is, like, the creation of the rings, the rise of Sauron, and the tricking of the elves.
It would be cool, too. You could have a lot more of a tragedy with, like, Isildur getting corrupted by the ring at the very end. You know, like, not destroying the ring, like, sets off all of, like, he could have ended it right there.
So, yeah, because you could really develop, so, like, Isildur would be, you know, the main character of the series, I suppose.
Isildur and, like, Elendil, Sauron, which is, like, his dad, who has Narsil, and it gets busted up. And then Gil-galad would probably be another main character. And probably Elrond, too.
Yeah. So... You could really develop his character, because all we've seen of him in other media is the intro to the Fellowship of the Ring.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you watch the theatrical edition, you get even less of it. So, true. So that would be cool to see them actually develop Isildur as like a character that you start to like. But, you know, obviously fans of the series would know eventually what he turns into, so it would already be, like, a tragedy for them, exactly. I suppose.
As you like a character you know is going to fall.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because, I mean, he must have been a good guy, you know, to start out with. I mean...
It's possible. Elendil is, like, the most famous... Son?
Yeah.
Yeah. Elendil's the most, like, famous... human, man, king, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, for him to be honored as much as he is, he's probably super noble, and maybe there's a lot of expectation on Isildur, I don't know, but you could probably play it off as, like, him, almost like Boromir, desperately trying to...
Yeah, true.
Save Gondor and, you know, impress his dad kind of thing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and, well, you know, and him dealing with the fact that he's got big boots to fill.
Yeah.
Because people love his dad so much.
It's he just got killed, and oh shit, everything's happening all at once.
Yeah, that sort of thing. And, yeah, you could really see how... You could set up his fall of not tossing the ring in as a... My dad just died, I have to carry on his legacy, but I'm not... him. I'm not as good as him, so I need this thing in order to be even better than he was.
Yeah.
So that people remember me more than my dad, sort of thing.
I like that.
You could set that up, and that would be cool and interesting to see.
Yeah. That would be sweet.
Amazon, take notes. pay me.
Take notes. So that would be the most obvious choice, I think, would be that entire storyline. And then, yeah, you could do something with the Witch King too. That would be sweet. That would be a much darker series, because he's just wrecking the Northern Kingdoms.
Yeah. You could do a Rangers, and like the Rangers in the North and the Witch King series.
Yeah. Like, how the Rangers became, because the Witch King wrecks the kingdom and the Rangers are all at the left, really.
Yeah. And then you could have Aragorn be involved, perhaps.
Yeah. I mean, that would be later. Yeah. Yeah. It would have to be, like, Aragorn's somewhere.
Dad.
Like,
they mentioned
super,
his dad.
Super great, like, super granddad or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other big one is... what we've already mentioned, and that's the fall of Gondolin.
So what is the fall of Gondolin, Chris, the resident Lord of the Rings expert?
the fall of Gondolin. Gondolin's interesting because two of the most famous swords in the like books and stuff are from Gondolin specifically, and that's Gandalf's sword, Glamdring, and Thorin's sword, Orcrist. Those are both from Gondolin, maybe Sting too, but we never get really a history on
it
Sting.
It never is confirmed, yeah.
Makes sense if it's found with the other two.
Yeah.
But But Gondolin was an elven city in, like, Tolkien's first draft of Minas Tirith kind of thing. the main series of Lord of the Rings is set at the end of the Third Age. This is in the First Age, I believe. Maybe Second Age. But very, like, thousands of years before Lord of the Rings is set as a series. Yeah. And basically, it's, like, one of the last strongholds of the elves in the north. And before they kind of have to retreat down to kind of outside of the Mines of Moria, where they are friends with the dwarves at first, which is why they use that password friend to get in and out of the Mines of Moria.
And why it's in Elvish.
Yeah, exactly. It's before that, and it's kind of their big stronghold in the north, and it's this huge-ass battle, and Sauron's, like, leader is actually the one kind of behind the scenes on that one, because Sauron's just a puppet, really.
Yeah, it's oh god, what's his name?
Melkor. Morgoth. Work.
Yeah, which Morgoth should be somewhat recognizable for fans of the at least movie, when the Balrog of Morgoth rises from Moria,
which is exactly,
so it'd be sweet to see some Balrogs,
because that's exactly what happened. There's, like, at least two that attack Gondolin, but I think there's more. There's, like, three or four that help attack, plus a dragon. So,
because one of them is one of them the one Glorfindel.
Yes, two of the Balrogs get killed by two different elves, and one of them's Glorfindel kills and dies in the process, and then goes to the west. His spirit goes to the west, like all elves do, and he's so badass in life. Basically, like, the gods of the Tolkienverse are like, you know what?
You can go back.
Because he's restless, and they're like, shit, Sauron's still, like, really powerful, so we're going to send these spirits that are ultimately the wizards and Gandalf and all that stuff. So he sends him back with them.
Them.
More than likely. It's a little vague, but more than likely with them. And then he returns and kind of doesn't do much except save Frodo in the books instead of Arwen from the Ring Race. But other than that.
Which is important, I suppose.
And you could do a series. I mean, you could do a series where Glorfindel's the main character, and you do a series that's with the Lord
what
of the Rings.
What was he doing? Yeah.
Yeah. Like, okay, the ring's getting taken south, but what happens in the north? Because there's a lot that happens in the north.
Yeah, yeah.
But Gondolin would be very, very high fantasy, because a lot of, like, crazy, weird magic shit happens in Silmarillion.
Yeah, there's a lot of monsters and weird beings, like, and races and
giant spider that, like,
cool shit
eats these orbs of light from, like, the tree of creation kind of thing, and like, all kinds of crazy shit happens. So it'd be,
it's
very,
like,
high fantasy.
Yeah, like, basically think Game of Thrones, like, the history of, like, the old gods and, like, the children of the forest, and, like, like, that type of high fantasy, where it's one of those things where, like, the world almost devolves, I guess, or maybe, I guess you could say evolves, where a lot of that old stuff starts to die out, and then it just becomes, quote-unquote, normal. But then, obviously, in Game of Thrones, like, things are starting to happen again, where it's almost like a cycle sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But, yes, and then I guess in this story, it's, like, features the biggest battle that Tolkien has ever, like, described, which is cool.
Yeah.
And that would make sense for the, billion-dollar budget. You have a huge battle.
Yeah, seriously.
That takes place over, like, five episodes or whatever, you know? Yeah. Which would be sweet. I'd be super into that.
Yeah, exactly. Because there's a lot of different points of that battle, too. And there's a lot of stuff that happens as they're trying to escape, too. So it's like the battle, and then they're trying to escape, and they're still being chased and stuff.
And then you could, like, feature different characters who are on different parts of the battle and you know,
exactly,
locale.
Because that is, it is Minas Tirith, only with bigger creatures, and the bad guys win. Like, So I don't know how you turn that into, like, do you just have a tragedy at the end of that, too? Like, a lot of Tolkien stuff is kind of tragedy, and it's funny because he's not, because a lot of, it's like everybody wins in Lord of the Rings, like, it's fine, but there's kind but of a lot Lord of tragedy, Rings, tragedy at the same time.
Even Lord of the Rings, the end is not all wrapped up in a neat little bow. Like, Frodo still suffers from his injury.
It's true.
Needs to go away, you know, and sail on the Grey Havens.
Aragorn dies eventually because he's just a, you know, a man.
Aragorn does die eventually.
He's like 240 when he dies.
Yeah. But he gets there. He gets there eventually. So, like, even the end of that, it's like, you know.
It's a little bittersweet, yeah.
Super rat. Yeah, it's not
like the super
neat.
Like, the effects of what happened to them, like, they don't just go away because they win.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Which I think is good.
Yes.
That's good writing.
Yes.
And storytelling. Yeah. So, yeah, and it's like one of those things where it's like, hey, remember this thing that happened fairly early on in the first book?
Yeah.
Well, it's still like a thing at the end that happened.
Exactly.
So
what I think they'll do is probably the Last Alliance, like everything leading up to the Battle of the Last Alliance. That's probably the direction they'll go. So they can still tie in like the ring and somewhat familiar names and kind of lead into like, this is Isildur. Remember, like, Aragorn's related to him down the line, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, they could have those connections.
Yeah.
And while still having characters that you do see in the actual series, like Elrond.
Yeah.
Or
and Galadriel, you know, too.
Galadriel, yeah, exactly.
She's older than the fucking moon.
Yeah, true. So it's also rumored, or it's a possibility, it looks like a pretty good possibility, that Peter Jackson will come on as a producer, an executive producer, because apparently some lawyer met with Amazon and Peter Jackson, saying like, oh yeah, we're working on trying to make this, because we all know Peter Jackson did not want to do the Hobbit movies. No. So he's probably like, no, I don't really, I didn't want to do this before.
Yeah.
But at least, I mean, if he does, at least it'll be just like on a board,
true,
like a board member of executive producers. He won't really have probably not as much like creative sway, you know.
I still lament over Del Toro not doing The Hobbit.
Oh man, me too. Yeah. It's a shame. It's a shame. That's a damn shame.
Yeah.
Another thing you do, Chris, with the series that we haven't talked about is The Children of Húrin.
You could. I actually read that one.
I've read like half of it, but then I stopped for, because I started school and I was like, I can't read it for fun anymore, and then I just like never got back to it.
It's definitely Tolkien's.
So yeah, so that could. Yeah.
It's definitely Tolkien's tragedy. Like, it's essentially like Oedipus Rex.
Yeah.
Like, it's essentially what it is. But yeah.
Yeah. So you could do that, and that could be the spinoff. Who knows? You do that.
That's true.
As a spinoff.
It's right after the fall of Gondolin, for the most part.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of different ways you could go. I just hope it would be cool to see some returning characters with the original actors.
That's, yeah. Cause
like a Galadriel, like, or Elrond.
Because Cate Blanchett doesn't actually age, so she'd be perfect.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she looks younger.
I know,
in Ragnarok,
right? I finally saw Ragnarok, and she looks amazing. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I saw a really funny thing, like a meme. I think it was on Reddit, where it was like, Gimli was right. Like, never trust an elf, because like Elrond becomes Red Skull. Yeah. The guy who plays
Thandarel,
the Elf King,
or
yeah, he is
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Guardians. Yeah. And then Kate Blanchett as Galadriel is Helia.
Yeah.
That's her name.
Yeah. So all
Is there any Never elves? Trust an elf, man.
Is there any elves left? Orlando Bloom needs to show Orlando up in the Bloom. Marvel Universe as a bad guy.
Orlando Bloom, Arwen, and Liv Tyler.
That's true. They both need to be bad guys.
Get Liv Tyler first.
She's technically a part of the MCU because she's in the Ed Norton, like, Hulk. As the love interest, I think.
That's. I don't think that... Wait, does that one count? The actual one, right? With
the Abomination or whatever. I think that's technically a part of the MCU.
Yeah, yeah. So it is. So she is, but she's not a bad guy. Bring her back. Where's she at? Bring her back.
What's she up to?
What is she up to nowadays?
Do you want? Okay, you want me to say something that you're probably not going to agree with about this decision if they do this, but I think they should do this.
Okay.
They should just do Lord of the Rings.
Okay, well, I was thinking this. I was thinking just do The Hobbit, but, like, do it right.
No, Hobbit's too soon. It's been, like, a long time, dude.
It's too soon.
It's too soon for all of it. But if you're going to do it, do Lord of the Rings and do 5 seasons where you pretty much treat the book like a script. Now, it would be difficult because the second book and the third book divide everybody up. And the second half of the second book is just Frodo and Sam in the fucking marshes forever.
True. But, and then the first half of the second book is Merry and Pippin talking to the ants forever.
Jesus Christ. Like, Helm's Deep happens like chapter 6 or something like that.
Super early,
And you don't get any more action until Shelob in, like, the last chapter. Whatever. But... Tolkien pacing, well,
you can
man.
You could just split it up better.
Oh, yeah. You could. You would have to, you know, do it like they did in the movies where they just figured out the timeline and do it actually chronologically instead and show what people are doing. The tough part would be starting things. I think the movies are, like, low-key brilliant at getting through those first 3 chapters of Fellowship of the Ring because it's just a lot of background. And Gandalf wandering his ass around trying to figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
So that would be difficult, but you could always do, like, you could have Legolas be a character earlier on because his people are supposed to watch Gollum after Aragorn captures him and they fucking
As long as they get fucking Viggo back. They need to get Viggo. Nothing else matters except getting Viggo as Aragorn.
And have him do the whole thing for 5 fucking seasons again? The dude's so old, man.
Fucking do it, Viggo. What are you up to? Your son is gonna make you do it like he made you do the movies. Do it. You won't.
You know where my brain goes? This is what
if not, then get someone equally equivalent badass.
This is where my brain goes. When you said Viggo, I just thought, how weird is it that I've seen his dick twice?
Hey, we needed to bring up a penis thing, especially on the nicest episode. It's true. Hey, he's got a nice penis.
Eastern Promises and Captain
Fantastic.
And it's funny
in Captain Fantastic because he just walks out of their bus just with his dick out. It's hilarious.
He wasn't even
like,
to
what?
That was just Viggo, like, being Viggo for sure.
Yeah, he just woke up. That's actually filming? He used that bus as his trailer.
Oh, we filming? Okay.
Oh shit! What does he say in the movie? He's like, it's a penis. Every guy's got one or something like that. So funny. So yeah, that would be cool. I was in the bathroom before we started recording.
A little behind the scenes.
I was like, man, you know what? Yeah, cause I guess they interviewed Sean Astin, and they're like, would you come back or whatever? And he was like, heck yeah, like I would come back. Did he say he would come back? I don't know if he said he'd come back, but he said...
What's Sean Astin doing? Of course he's going to come back.
He said he was telling the interviewer, like, when Lord of the Rings was first coming out, or, like, first came out, like, shortly after, he was like, oh, one day they're going to remake this. And everyone was like, oh, no, they can't remake it. Like, it's a classic. And he's like, no, it's, like, it's so, like, beloved. Like, the story is so beloved, and it's an amazing, like... You know, it's an amazing story, and the characters are beloved, and, like, there's no way they wouldn't remake it. And nowadays, they're remaking fucking Power Rangers, so...
Yeah.
You know.
Lord of the Rings, as a story, if Amazon doesn't do it, will be redone at some point. Like, yeah, there's no way it's not.
Yeah. And I think it is a possibility that this is what it is, that they're just... throwing people off by saying, like, oh, it's like a prequel.
Because
then the first episode comes out and it's like, hey, what the fuck?
I would love to see, because it works pacing wise, it works better as a TV series than a movie, because there's a lot that happens, and then you can do
all the stuff they cut out.
Yeah, you can include Tom Bombadil and the Barrowites, and it wouldn't, like, kill the pacing. It would just be a part of that journey.
Yeah, and Old Forest, and...
You know, obviously you would be showing what Gandalf's doing at the same time, and probably what Aragorn's doing, too, because he's trying to fight off Ringwraiths. Like, the Rangers are actively fighting the Ringwraiths off. We don't get to see that, even in... Like, it's just barely mentioned in the books, but you could have
when
that
when he shows
be,
up.
Yeah, you could almost have that be, like, the starting action. You could start it, like, hey, Bilbo had his party, like, 30 years ago. We don't need to see that again. Just start it with, like, we know the ring thing. Kind of, like, use common knowledge as, like, a much easier entry point.
Or, yeah, or just do a, you know, a Lord of the Rings-style prequel thing where they just explain it. Yeah. And then it starts off with Frodo's, you know, older, 50 or whatever.
Yeah. And Gandalf's not coming back, and it's, you know. Yeah. And, but yeah, you could have, like, the Rangers fighting off the Ringwraiths as, like, almost a starting action. There's a lot of things going on. You can have other characters that we don't get to see at all. You could have, a bard's son or grandson or whoever is in charge of, the town of Dale now, because they have a huge battle at the end, the same day as, like, the Black Gate, I think. They have to fend off, like, a lot of the eastern... like forces and the forces coming up from Mirkwood at the same time, and then like that battle happens, and then Galadriel kind of finally rallies, like, sallies forth out of Lorien and brings down Dol Guldur for good, and, like, uses her ring and shit, and it's like we don't get to see that even in the books, really, except the appendix, you know, like, you could have that be the like a final thing.
You could have season 5 being actually post Ring Destroyed, which is Aragorn tracking down the rest of the orcs,
and that, you know, happening, doing that. And then the scouring of the Shire, like, you can try to work that in without it being anticlimactic.
And do it right where Aragorn has the fucking sword the whole time, and have Aragorn be be that Aragorn, which, you know, I don't mind the direction they took in the movies with him being a little bit, like, having that be, like, a character development of Aragorn, where he starts to, like, become the king over the course of the movies rather than already being there from the start. But then if you do what you're saying, which is, like, feature him more in the beginning rather than just, like, oh, he's this dude that shows up at the Prancing Pony, then you can have that character development happening already.
The whole
time they get to Rivendell, which is a long time, then you could be like, okay, like, let's do this thing.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a proving that needs to happen, because the whole army of the dead thing in the movies is kind of like a cop out for things. But in the books, it's like, oh, you want to be king, this is your final proof right now. And you have to, like, kind of command these oath breakers as proof that you're really worthy of being king. And that's lost.
Yeah, because in the movies he's like, he gets the sword and he's like, all right, I'm badass now, like, I'm the king now.
It's the payoff. It doesn't work, I don't think, the way they intended. because
it's the one part of the movies where I'm like, they could have done that a lot better.
Because it is. You're right. It's here's the sword and look how fucking huge it is. It's great. And now you're king, I guess.
Yeah. And I'm Elrond. And I somehow got here super quick because I can teleport, I guess.
I've been traveling for a fucking long time, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even though I just reforged the sword yesterday. But it's all good. Don't worry about it.
Oh, man.
Yeah. You could have better Faramir as well.
Yeah.
In the series. You could feature that as well, which is happening before. That's happening during the same time as, like, the beginning of Fellowship of the Ring, which is them taking Osgiliath back.
Yes.
So you could do that as well. It would be jumpy, I guess, that way. But at the same time, it's like fucking Game of Thrones. So, like,
yes,
people are used to / expect jumping across continents.
Oh, yeah.
Which at least this would be on the same continent.
Yeah, exactly.
I think
that's the direction they should start with.
I don't disagree with you, Chris. You're wrong. I don't disagree with you. I wholeheartedly agree with you.
Thank you.
I think it's a hot take, but I like it.
It's because I'm filled with even more Jesus.
It's true. Jesus is helping you.
Even more so than usual.
Even more so. Jesus, when it comes to the Lord of the Rings, I need even more of you. It's how serious I take this.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I think leading up to this thing, we're going to definitely need more Lord of the Rings lore episodes, which have already been requested to do more Lord of the Rings lore episodes. That's anyway. True. And now it just makes sense for us to do them with a new book coming out this year and then a new series starting production soon, I'm guessing.
And on the nicest episode, my real agenda comes out, and that's to make this podcast just Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings podcast.
And then randomly, one time a year, we talk about the Star Wars movie.
Star Wars. Well, also the Star Wars TV show.
Oh, shit. That's right.
So
it's just Star Wars and Lord of the Rings, folks. That's all we do now.
You know what? I'm okay with it. And then whatever Black Panther movie or whatever happens. Yeah. That's the only one, though. That's the only character we care about.
Black Panther 2, Purple Flower Boogaloo.
Fuck, that movie comes out in like 2 weeks, and we're going to have to see it opening weekend, which is going to suck ass, because there's going to be so many fucking people. Mm-hmm. God damn it.
Movie Pass hopefully works.
Yeah, well, it will. It's going to suck, because you can only get there like 30 minutes beforehand or whatever.
I'll have to get, hopefully.
Just go at 11 o'clock in the morning.
On a Thursday, yeah. That's my plan.
Oh, man. A friend and listener, Tiffany, told me yesterday that she's taking the day off. Just for that.
It's not worthy of that, I don't think.
Yeah. But speaking of Tiffany, and speaking of other things and listeners and fans, it's time for Weapon of the Week / Listener Mail, and we actually have quite a few
Weapon of the Weeks,
because my girlfriend, in the middle of us recording this, actually texted me her Weapon of the Week.
Nice.
We have another one. First I gotta sing the theme song, though, before we get into Weapon of the Week. When you're surrounded by zombies and your future looks bleak, it's time to pull out your Weapon of the Week. Nice.
Oh, man, perfect.
Chris, why don't you explain to the good people what Weapon of the Week is?
Well, everybody, Weapon of the Week is anything that you've been watching or reading or playing. The weapon you're using in that form of media is now the weapon you have to get through the zombie apocalypse with. So how long do you last? What do you use? And then now we have our new segment, what phrase do you say as you use it?
That's right.
Let's read some.
All right, let's read some. First one coming from friend and listener Luke. So now the Weapon of the Week expands to the world of sports. Because he says, not very geeky, but my hashtag WOTW is Mike Trout.
Okay? Hell yeah.
Because I'm assuming he like won the baseball for the Angels. And his phrase would be, get Trout slapped.
Get Trout slapped.
Get Trout slapped. Which now, then, yeah, go on.
Okay. So is Mike Trout there as a person with a bat, yeah. I assume.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's the one, like, just...
Trout slapping.
Trout slapping his way through the zombie horde. You've got like a problem there, because Mike Trout becomes a zombie very quick, I think.
Hmm.
A beautiful, zombie.
He has been known to be,
zombie.
Like, injury prone. Yeah, yeah.
A beautiful zombie.
Dude, the window next to me is shaking because it's so windy out here.
Damn.
The power of Mike Trout.
That's the power. Yep. 100%.
Which then Andrew replied to Luke's message and said, my Trout weapon, invisible arrows, and then posted a gif of Mike Trout shooting an invisible arrow because I'm assuming got a hit of some sort.
But the invisible arrows don't actually shoot anything.
No, it's just you look dumb, and then you get eaten by a zombie.
No, see, we can't put Mike Trout in the front line of the zombie apocalypse, because he's got to play. We can't afford to lose him.
I think there's other things to be concerned about in the zombie apocalypse in the next season.
The zombie apocalypse is happening, the Angels still exist, and baseball is happening, and we have to get to the...
And they're in the outfield. The Angels are in the outfield, and we need them.
We have to get to the postseason, Patrick. I don't care if they're zombies or not.
The catchphrase should have been, like, if they kill it, they will come, or something like that.
It should have been swinging upstream. No, that's probably, like, salmon.
Swinging
Tim
Salmon's. Oh, yeah, yeah, that would be Tim Salmon. Yeah. Trouts don't swim upstream.
They just
lay there.
We need more fish players, apparently.
The fish players are the best. Next one's going to be Big Tuna. And it's going to be John Krasinski.
John Krasinski's just going to show up. He's not going to say anything.
And then my weapon of the week will be John Krasinski's abs.
They get the zombies because they're surprised to see them there.
Whoa. You're Jim from The Office? You're not
Damn.
Jim. Anyway, Tiff chimes in via email. And the name of the email is Nice Podcast. And she says, congrats on your 69th Nice episode. I think I'm more excited about this than your anniversary. But amazing job. Well done all the same. Keep on bringing that geeky news I love so much. Thanks, Tiff. We will.
Okay.
For until we reach 169. It'll be double
nice.
Oh, man. Now we have to do 6,969 episodes.
Let's do it.
All right.
See you in
15 years.
Every single day.
Fuck me. Anyway, my weapon of the week, Tiff says, is Alfred. That's right. Batman's Alfred. Especially from the show Gotham. So young Alfred. He could fight his way through zombie hordes while serving me tea sammies. All right. So he defends you and he feeds you. He's such a good guy, Alfred. Oh, my phone. Good guy, Alfred.
Seriously, nice. My God.
And that Alfred, I'm sure you haven't seen the show Gotham. Mm-hmm. I saw the first season, and he is like British Special Forces or something. So he like actually knows how to fight and shoot and do good stuff.
Well, they had to burn the whole forest down, Patrick.
It's true. We burned the forest down, Master Bruce.
You will not besmirch Michael Caine.
I won't, but it's funny. His voice is funny. Can't get past that. His voice is funny. And then my girlfriend chimed in with a weapon of the week, and hers is a box of poison chocolates from Once Upon a Time. Han Solo uses it to poison a evil coven of witches.
Han Solo?
Hansel. Oh. From Hansel and Gretel. Catchphrase is, Ain't Revenge Sweet.
Nice.
She says it's the first thing that came to mind. That's a pretty good one.
So, yeah, you're giving candy to the witches this time.
No, well, from the show, it was used on witches, but she would use it. She would use poison chocolate against
the zombies. No, yeah, but I'm saying, like, in the show, like, that's
oh, yeah, fun. It's reversed. He flipped it on you. Flipped it on his head. Yeah.
That's original.
That's exciting.
Yeah. Now, how would you get the zombies to eat the chocolate and not you?
Well, I guess you would poison it with something that would be poisonous to zombies specifically and put the poison chocolate, do like a, you know, when you have to give your dog a pill, you wrap it in cheese. You would put the poison chocolate around some flesh or in some flesh, I suppose.
Can I borrow some flesh?
Just poison yourself so that when the zombies try to eat you, they die.
I won't save myself, but maybe my fellows, like, after I poison all the zombies.
Zombies' mouths are always agape. You just toss the chocolate in there. And then they're forced to eat it.
Hey, should we put this poison, like, on a bullet or something? No. Chocolate. They gotta
poison
eat it.
Poison chocolate. It was my weapon of the week. This is how it's gotta be. Alright.
Okay.
Alright, Chris, what's yours?
Well, mine, I can't remember the name of the YouTube video specifically, but I'll describe it to you because it's very interesting.
Okay.
A man breaks a bird's cage.
Okay.
And the parrot sees it happen. Apparently, I found out that if you own a bird, the bird has to see the old cage get broken, so they use the new cage when they get bigger and need a bigger cage. Or although they'll just keep using the old cage because they're used to it and comfortable. But whatever. But this bird...
Can't you just toss the old cage out so that the only cage that's in there is the new cage?
Don't use logic on me. You gotta break the cage, Patrick.
Alright.
But this bird uses expletives that I can't even repeat on this podcast.
Oh, I would have to bleep it out, huh?
Just the string of, like, it's art, really, of every expletive you could think of, every cringeworthy thing as he's breaking this cage, which means either A, this man taught this
swears
parrot,
like a sailor, yeah.
Or he's a rescue, and the family he's from swears like crazy. But my favorite thing, which would also be my catchphrase, as I use this parrot to, I guess, to demoralize the zombies.
All you do is destroy.
Phrase, because of how random it is. This parrot goes, fucking China, bro.
Fucking China,
bro. First of all, how does a parrot get the F sound out of himself?
Yeah. They don't have lips.
But you can clearly hear this thing say, fucking China, bro.
I wonder if it's like a dub thing. Where
no,
it's, like,
it's not.
Oh, that's really good. Yeah. I like that. That's awesome.
So the zombies would just be cringing at all the terrible things this parrot's saying as I'm fleeing, I guess.
Yeah, they'd be too distracted by how
and
is
you would
the
be
parrot
free
making the F sound.
How is this happening? And he's safe because he can just fly above the zombies
fly
all
around.
The time.
Yeah,
and then he comes back to me to say more expletives to me, but that's fine.
Fucking killed those zombies, bro. They're fucking dead.
Thank you, pirate.
And he puts out his wing. He puts out his wing for a
like a bump. Yeah,
a wing bump. Nice.
Yeah.
Well, I've been playing a lot of Kingdom Come Deliverance, as I've been saying, and it's very good. It's very good. I think I've finally now gotten, like, a couple hours in, I've finally gotten to the part where I can basically do what I want now, because I now have a horse. It took me a bit to get to the story part that gives me a horse.
Nice.
So, sweet. And the horse's name, is Pebbles.
Do you name it, or is that just what's...
Nope. It's the name it comes with.
Damn it. Every video game by now should know, if you have an animal of any kind, you let the player name it. Simple.
True. Also, every RPG should know that you should definitely have a hide helmet toggle in menu. But God, they do not.
Well, it's supposed to be realistic, Patrick. Like, this game is all about, like, medieval realism. So your dumb helmet has to be on. Look dumb. Yeah.
But in other cutscenes, the helmet is off automatically. Mm. But in just regular dialogue cutscenes, it's on.
You just look like a doof.
Yeah. Anyway, but I got a sweet new hat in it, so I look cool.
You wear it backwards.
No, it's like what like a Robin Hood hat.
Oh, thing. Okay, cool.
Anyway, so my weapon would just be like a rusty sword. So there's a perk.
And I guess.
There's a skill. There's a skill that you can get that the more your sword is broken, you have a chance to poison your enemies without actually applying poison to the weapon because it's all rusted and shit.
Oh my god. So they get...
give them tetanus.
You're giving them tetanus.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, just like a sword, I guess. Like, and I guess it could be rusted. I don't think that makes a difference.
Preferably. Like, can zombies get tetanus? Does it affect them?
Hey,
that's a long con, dude.
I would have to read their medical forms to see if they, one, actually remember when they last got their tetanus shot, and B, if they were truthful.
When was your last tetanus shot? Okay, is that a All month? Right.
I'm
two years?
Good. I'm hearing April 2nd. And then my catchphrase, and this is a real insider, but I thought of it and I laughed. So I'm going to say it basically for you. But my catchphrase would be, "En garde, young sir!" Thought you'd like that.
Oh. That was unexpected and delightful.
Ah, the best. Shout out to Kyle, who probably doesn't listen to this podcast, but that's fine.
That's fine.
You're in it, bro. You're in it. You're now part of the canon.
Yeah, bro. Fucking China, bro.
Brothers Geek canon. Yeah. Ooh, some sirens going on outside.
I'm surprised but yeah. No, like, children playing outside my apartment. Because last week, it was just constant.
No Charlie this
no
week.
No Charlie. Either. What are we going to do?
Man, it's because they knew it was the nicest episode, so they wanted to give us
That's true.
The room, the space. But yeah, if you want to chime in with your weapons of the week, make sure you do so via theportport.com. That's P-O-R-T-E-P-O-R-T.com. You can find all our social media links and our email links there. And you can also make sure you check out Ripped Apparel. That's still happening. That's still a thing. The banner will be in the description of this episode as well. And you can find it on the Portport, all the good stuff. And yeah. Make sure you do that. And let them know that we sent you by using the code BROTHERSGEEK.
Nice. Nice.
Nice. but until then, we'll see you for the lamer episode 70 next week.
I'm kind of disappointed. It's all downhill from here.
Yeah, I think we should just stop the podcast, honestly.
Yeah.
Well, no, we should restart the podcast as the Lord of the Rings podcast and then reset the numbering system so that we can get to 69 again.
This next episode should just be like 1.1 and then
69.5.
So when we get there, it'll be 69.1 and we can do it again. And then it'll be 1.2. And then, you know.
The next episode would be called, well, when we do our Westworld episode for season 2, it'll be called Brothers Geek at Tron 69,000 or something.
We'll incorporate it somehow in the future.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it has to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But until that future happens, we'll see you next week. This is Patrick signing off.
And Chris.
See you then. Nice.
Nice.